and welcome to the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates for tonight's matchup between the Fort Wayne Mad Ants and the Windy City Bulls. I'm Bernie, going along with Joe Kesnick, got it right this time, and Blake Allivan. Nice to see you gentlemen tonight. And guys, last night, I have to say, an exciting victory, 130-126, the Windy City Bulls out in front. You cannot say enough good things about Antonio Blakeney. Webster has not invented enough synonyms in his thesaurus to spew on that man and what he has done in the two games we've seen from him so far.
That's quite the leading. It's a buzz here in the stadium tonight for sure, in the Sears Center. We've got Dynasty Knight, Horace Grant here signing autographs. There's a buzz carrying over from last night, a tremendous win by the Windy City Bulls. Offensive explosion from the team overall and from Blakeney especially. As well, Jarrell Eddy pouring in some numbers last night too. Archie Diacono distributing the ball around. A great win. And Blake, what are your thoughts on last night as well?
Yeah, it was very exciting. It went back and forth pretty much the entire game. I remember early went out 15 where the blue went up. Bulls came right back. They fed the inside. They fixed a lot of their transition game. So hopefully, yeah, they do carry over some of this confidence from yesterday's win into tonight.
And this is a good-looking ball club early on in the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. 2-1 on the season, opened up losing to the Long Island Nets, 115-99. Came back to beat the Greensboro Swarm this past Tuesday, 105-96. And then beating last year's champions of the G League, the Raptors, 905-104-77, sending a message, I believe, to the rest of the league out there that, hey, this team is for real. Maybe they can get some revenge at their parent. Bulls team could not get on the Indiana Pacers last night. But again, the confidence going, I would hope, is at a high level for this ball club after the performances by Blakeney, Eddie, and of course, Ryan Archidiakono, kind of the unsung hero last night, taking some charges down the stretch, some nice assists. And then Tyler Harris off the bench came in there and kind of got the spark going, played that old Cliff Levingston role that he played with the Bulls back in the day.
Taking it back to the 90s there, but an interesting matchup for sure tonight with both teams on a back-to-back. You're going to see how that plays out tonight with an overtime game, especially for the Windy City Bulls. It's going to be slowed down a little bit. These are young guys. They're all young players. They can recover quickly. But as far as the mental fatigue, is it going to be there? Are they going to be ready to rally back for another game tonight? Are they going to have all the legs in their shot from the get-go, or is the game going to slow down a little bit? Not quite as much run and gun as we're used to in these games with the back-to-back.
I definitely agree. I think that yesterday the Bulls relied heavily on that three-point shot. Tonight, I really hope that they feed the post a lot more. I don't want the Bulls to have to rely on shooting that three in order to gain some offense. Jarrell Eddy had 7 or 8 three-pointers yesterday. Mm-hmm. As cool as that is, I don't think the Bulls should keep feeding him and rely on that three-point shot. So hopefully they can get the ball inside. Strong post game from Diamond Stone, so hopefully he can step up tonight and bring some offense for this team, this young team.
I totally agree. Diamond Stone, you can see in the starting lineups, the Bulls have an advantage with him, a matchup advantage. They don't have a lot of guys to come at Diamond Stone with. So feeding the post, working it back out if you need to, I think is a great move for them tonight.
You know, one of the cool things that Chicago fans have always done for their players when they brought them a title, they have shown them just unbridled passion and love. And we see that right now, a huge line to see Horace Grant, a key part. I would say the third most important part of the first three titles from 91 through 93. People forget, if you go back to game 6 of that season against the Phoenix Suns, Horace Grant had 1 point in game 5, and he called it before game 6 the worst performance of his life. He goes out there, only has 1 point. It was the first point of the game against the Phoenix Suns. But you know what he does? He has the assist to now Executive Vice President John Paxson, who hits the eventual game-winning three-pointer, then has the block
right
on Kevin Johnson, the ultimate team player. And people forget, he was guarding that series a Hall of Famer, he's called himself the third greatest power forward ever, Charles Barkley. I mean, no, I don't think he gets enough credit for how well he did in that game when most people go, oh, he had 1 point. he had maybe the two most important plays of that game with the assist. Didn't even think about shooting it. Could have tried to get the second or third point and tied it. No, he kicked it the open man, got that block, and showed what a tremendous defender he was out there. And a sweet pair of goggles. Always love those goggles.
Horace Grant was Draymond Green before Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green should have his press conferences and thank Horace Grant for influencing to be who he is today. Hitting the mid-range jumper, beautiful passer as well. You go back to what you're talking about with kicking it back out to Paxton. For that shot, a tremendous all-around player, did all the dirty work, what he was asked to do with those teams to get the titles.
And not a huge scorer throughout his career, although scoring isn't everything. He was able to go and get rebounds. He played some decent defense. So 1 point doesn't always make that difference, but it's what else you bring to the table that's important as well.
A double-double machine, and the fact that you can pass to you got your all-around game going.
Right. Just like you said, Draymond Green, I mean, he's not the biggest scorer, but right. I mean, he can get a pass in there. He can play solid defense from what we've seen. So, I mean, yeah, points aren't everything, but it's what else you could bring to the table.
Yeah, Grant, definitely one of the most unsung heroes, and he kind of got overshadowed by the great player slash off the court, you know, clown show that was Dennis Rodman out there. So he gets kind of overshadowed what he brought with the second three. And we're not diminishing what he did on the court. It was a tremendous job. But Horace Grant lost, and, you know, and Michael Jordan, of course, deserves, he's got a statue for crying out loud. A guy, you know, should be changed and made the new logo over Jerry West for the NBA insignia.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Scottie Pippen, of course, especially what he did defensively. But, I mean, they don't win those three titles. And I'm not just saying that because he's sitting behind us. They don't win those three titles without Horace Grant. And any Bulls fan who doesn't think that, then I don't know what to tell you. You were asleep in the early 90s, apparently.
Right. That's why they brought Robin in, because they needed that replacement for Horace. They wouldn't have gotten back to that second three-peat without finding a replacement for that role that he filled.
Yeah, I mean, I truly love the guy as a player. I mean, one of my most heartbreaking moments was when he was carried off the floor.
I was there.
You were there for
that
game.
I was there for that game.
Wow.
That was painful.
I'm glad I wasn't. But,
right. Yeah, I mean,
that was one of the saddest things ever when he carried off the floor by the Orlando Magic. He didn't want to do it. He talked to them. You know, Shaquille O'Neal kind of said, no, let's, you know, do this. And he brought that veteran leadership to that ball club. They don't go to the NBA Finals that year to play the Houston Rockets if not for the presence of a Horace Grant. In my opinion, he brought what they needed, that toughness, that physicalness inside. And, I mean, the guy was great. And, I mean, perfect guy to represent, you know, Dynasty Night tonight.
It's kind of like the your glue of the team, as you will. He was just the glue of the team, I would say. I mean, like you said, I mean, would those three championships be there without Horace?
No.
No?
No.
I mean,
no, absolutely not. They would not.
He's the absolute glue of that team. I mean, although you have Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, there's other factors that won them those championships.
So speaking of glue, who is the glue of this Windy City Bulls team right now, in your guys' view?
I would say Jalen Johnson, a guy who's a strong presence down low, 6'9", you know, 220 out of Louisville. I think he kind of brings that toughness they need down low. You can look at another guy, 00 in Diamond Stone. I would look to do those two guys. Give the edge slightly there to Jalen Johnson.
I would definitely give it to Ryan Arcidiacono. He isn't scoring as much as I would like him to, although he's always racking up those assists, and he's very good under pressure from what it seems. He's very comfortable with the ball in his hands on the double team. So for me, that's definitely the glue of the team.
Yeah, you saw it last night in the first half stats. He had about 7 assists at halftime, and the rest of the team had 1 collectively. So he's showing how to move the ball around, how to get it to the shooters, get it to the scorers. He's really trying to show his all-around game. A lot of guys are firing the ball up, trying to get build up points to get into the big show, but he's showing his all-around game, and I think that's pulling together in a good way, and you saw that last night.
Well, we had a big moment that was announced just yesterday by the Chicago Bulls. 1988, February 7th, 1988, the NBA All-Star Game was held at then Chicago Stadium. For you NBA junkies out there, you probably remember Michael Jordan, 40 points in that ball game on that year when he won the MVP, won Defensive Player of the Year, led the league in steals. Unfortunately, it's not a one-man show, and they fell that year. He averaged 38 points a game that year as well.
Stepped into who Michael Jordan was.
Also won the All-Star Dunk Contest at the Chicago Stadium over the human highlight reel and Dominique Wilkins.
A famous contest there, sponsored by Gatorade, much like our sponsor. of this league that we're talking about tonight?
So the news is that the United Center in 2020 will now host the NBA All-Star Game, bringing it back to the city of Chicago, the first All-Star Game to be held there since the 2003 tilt in MLB at then U.S. Cellular Field, now Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side for the Chicago White Sox. I have to say, a cool moment, something that you don't always get to see, something that I know the fans will go out there and support. I mean, a lot of people, well, they maybe this year a little, you know, upset with the way things are going basketball. I still love their team, still love the sport. I think it'll be a great thing and a great job by now Michael Reinsdorf, who talked his dad, along with his own son Joe, talked their dad into finally saying, hey, he didn't want to bring it here for the longest time, saying what he didn't want to, you know, hurt the season ticket holders and stuff, but they brought it here. It's a good thing, and they're building the area up around there. I believe this is a home run by the Chicago Bulls to bring that, and hopefully we can say this, a guy like Lauri Markkanen, maybe somebody out there like an Antonio Blakeney, is representing the
can
Bulls
get in
that
roster.
Game.
Yeah.
That would bring it all too fast in that. Well,
hopefully they're a contender that year, and maybe the head coach, whoever that future head coach probably is, I don't think it's going to be Fred by that point. Maybe that coach is coaching that game.
That'd be awesome to see. Well, coming up, our interview Andrew Johnson did with Coach Charlie Henry of the Windy City Bulls and some keys of the game. You're listening to the Windy City Bulls pregame show on SportsTownChicago.com. And welcome back to the Windy City pregame show. Bernie going along with Joe Kisnick and Blake Alvin. And now our one and only Andrew Johnson has moved up in the world to TV color tonight, or radio color, excuse me, sat down with head coach of the Windy City Bulls, Charlie Henry.
So coming off the win last night, how confident are you guys going into tonight?
You know, obviously feel good that we were able to fight our way back and come out of here with the win last night. But, you know, it's not really a confident feeling. It's more just ready to try to continue it tonight.
Fort Wayne played last night as well. Stephon Hicks had 17. Walter Lamont Jr. had 21, three other players finish in double figures. How are you preparing to stop that attack tonight?
Yeah, you know, they pose a lot of challenges, some unique challenges. Obviously, it starts with Lemon at the one. You know, we really have to do a better job than we've done. Getting back with numbers, showing a crowd, loading to touch, and really containing their offensive attack in the first 8 seconds of the shot clock. If we can do that, we feel like it'll give us a chance to slow them down. But, you know, if we don't get back in transition, we don't get matched, and we don't keep the ball to paint early in the possession, it'll be a problem.
And last night, you guys gave up 22 points on 56 attempts from three. How do you plan on improving the perimeter defense tonight to prevent that?
You know, I just, you know, obviously we ran into a unique team. It's one of those things where you talk about their pace going into the game and, you know, you say pace, 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 and transition, transition, transition. But it's one of those things where until you go through it, you don't really understand it. You know, hopefully, you know, the buy-in from our guys, understanding that, you know, when our shot goes up on our raise release, when it leaves our hand, we have to get four guys back. And we have to get our defense set for us to have a chance. And then we really just have to, one, we have to be better at talking. You know, we have to communicate our coverages really loud and clear. And then, two, we have to take on the challenge to individually guard our man and keep him in front. We just, you know, jumped on too many shot fakes, gave up way too many direct lines, and, you know, they led to spray out threes. So obviously got to do a much better job of that going forward.
After Blakeney and Eddie having career nights last night, how do you think they'll do tonight? Do they still have anything left in the tank?
I hope they got something left in the tank. You know, we've been going after it hard for 2 weeks, and we've had great practices, and, you know, we followed it up with another you know, hard, great day of practice. So I don't see there's any reason why we can't follow up last night's game with another good game tonight.
And do you have any plans to expand the rotation tonight since last night went to overtime?
You know, obviously played 9-10 guys. I think you'll probably see the same 9-10 guys, you know, hoping to play the bench a little more than I did yesterday. You know, they're going to be ready for when their number gets called.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And that was our own Andrew Johnson sitting down with Coach Henry of the Windy City Bulls. Some probable starters we have for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. It's Walt Lemon Jr., Stephen Hicks, Daquan Jones, C.J. Fair, and Jared Utoff. As far as the Windy City Bulls, why not? Why mess with a good thing, right, gentlemen? Ryan Harshey-Diacono, Antonio Blakeney, Jarrell Eddy, Jalen Johnson, and Diamond Stone fill out the rotation. Same starters as last night. And I'm telling you what, after seeing that performance last night and the Bulls down on the mat, down by 15 points, energy tonight, you know, Dynasty Night, as we mentioned, Horace Grant here, come out to the Sears Center Arena. We're all telling you that. Come out, see this team. I'm excited for this game. And I think the Bulls are going to come out here with a lot of energy, and I think they're going to give the Mad Ants all they can handle, maybe be that exterminator for them.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a couple keys to the game I'm thinking about tonight, again, going back to the back-to-back situation. Are both teams mentally ready to jump back into it? Is the game going to slow down a little bit from that? Andrew mentioned a little bit rotations expanding a little bit potentially. New guys are going to have to step up that maybe didn't step up last night. Second of all, that advantage down low with Diamond Stone. I love the way he's been playing since I've been watching him this year. He's got an inside-outside game. He's got talent all around. He's got that Horace Grant-type game. Feed it down to the post. Do a little in-and-out action with that. Still need to get some threes. Still need to get into the hands of Blakeney and Jarrell Eddy. But trying something different a little bit tonight with preserving the guys' legs a little bit by feeding it down low. You got to feed the hot hands with Jarrell and Eddy. Blakeney is hitting everywhere. So you find him in his spots, and he'll pour in some points.
I definitely think that the Bulls, that they control the transition game. We've shown yesterday when they're not in control, there's too many easy points in the paint. So we got to get back on defense, control the transition game, and make smarter shots. I saw a lot of wild shots yesterday. So if we can keep the offensive pace at a controlled level, I really feel the Bulls can come out with a W tonight.
Defense has been key, for sure. I think that's something they're gelling together with. It's tough to build when you've got a whole new roster of guys. It's not the same as the NBA where you've got consistency year over year. You've got a whole new group of guys trying to gel together, building that defensive consistency. I think that'll come as the season moves along, but we'll see how it plays out tonight.
Yeah, for me, it's simple. Antonio Blakeney, you know, he's a straw that stirs this drink, kind of like Reggie Jackson used to say about the team. Put in his hands, let him go to work. I mean, the last two games he's played in this building, he's now the third all-time leading scorer for the in a game for the Windy City Bulls. Set the record last night, so he's 1-3 on that list.
Yeah.
Let him just go to work out there. You know, I think that maybe he looks to get a guy like a Jalen Johnson involved early on. You know, maybe that Jarrell Eddy helped take some of the pressure off. Essentially, three people were the ones scoring last night. I'd like to see a little bit more balance out of this Bulls team. And, you know, from there, I just believe that if they, you know, go out there, set the tone early on, I feel like they can get the W tonight.
I like what Tyler Harris has been doing, too, with his minutes when he's got them here and there. Again, you look at the height overall with the Mad Ants, it's not there. There are a lot of what you're talking about in the NBA right now, those 6'8 guys, swing guys. They're a team full of swingmen. So they've got some advantages height-wise down low. They've got to work those advantages and use them where they can.
I think that the Bulls, if we compare the Mad Ants to the Bulls, I mean, they're between steals and blocks. There's a wide margin right there. So if we can really tighten up our defense and go in for rebounds, not allow offensive rebounds, like I said, we control the pace of this game. We'll come out with a W.
Well, guys, I think it should be fun. And so now we will send it down courtside to Lucas Stefan. Tony Guzman and Andrew Johnson for the call of the game. For Blake Alvin, Joe Kisnick, I'm Bernie Gowen, and we will see you at halftime.